I thank God for all who have led us in worship today. We are in a sermon series called Holistic Missions. We're looking at several of the various dimensions of the mission that God has given us as Christian believers. Today, I want to draw your attention to John chapter 4, a well-known story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm just going to read a portion of it, verses 25 through 30. And the title of my sermon is, Come and See. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want? Or, Why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. One of the most uncomfortable days of my life was a beautiful summer day back in 1998. I was on the Carolina coast for the summer, training with a collegiate Christian ministry, and the first Saturday we were there, our leaders took us to the main strip at Myrtle Beach and told us to go share the gospel with complete strangers. We had been trained. We had small booklets with the gospel message in them called tracts to pass out. And we had been taught a couple of different evangelistic methods. Still, I thought to myself, how in the world am I going to do this? Amid the beach balls bouncing, kids yelling, waves splashing, and sandcastle building, I was supposed to just walk up to people and strike up a conversation about Jesus Christ. It was unnerving. Some of the people I spoke with were nice. Some of the people basically told me to get lost. Others kind of laughed at me and went on about their business. Later, I wondered whether I should have been sharing my faith with strangers on the beach in the first place. Don't get me wrong. People need to hear the good news. And we as Christian believers are called to share our faith. But as I reflected on the experience after the fact, I wondered, what's the best way to share our faith with other people? Is it distributing gospel tracts? Is it approaching strangers? Is it going door to door to talk to people? What's the best way to practice Christian evangelism? I find a promising answer in John chapter 4. Come and see. It all started when a Samaritan woman came to draw water at the well and encountered Jesus there. The two of them struck up a conversation. They talked about differences between Samaritans like her and Jews like him. They talked about where to worship and how to worship. They talked about well water and living water. They talked about her past. She had had 5 husbands. And about her present situation. She was living with a man who was not her husband. They also talked about who Jesus is. They talked and talked and talked. They talked for so long, actually, that the disciples had time to walk into town, buy some food, and walk all the way back. I believe this is the longest one-on-one conversation Jesus had with anybody in the Bible. He talked with the Samaritan woman for so long that she actually got to know him a bit. Jews and Samaritans were not supposed to talk like this. They were rival groups in the first century. Men were not supposed to talk to women like this either. One ancient source said, "It is forbidden to give a woman any greeting." Another said, "One should not talk with a woman on the street." This explains why the disciples were astonished when they returned to find Christ talking with a Samaritan woman. Leave it to Christ to break through social barriers with the love of God. This story exemplifies how the gospel brings people together. Finally, the woman said, "I know that Messiah will come." And Jesus said to her, "That's me." Actually, in the Greek, he said, "I am." This linguistic detail is important for us to notice because Exodus 3 tells us that "I am" is one of God's names. When Jesus says, "I am," he is revealed to the woman as the Messiah, and he is revealed to us as God in the flesh. "I am" statements are an important theme in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." In chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd." In chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in chapter 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." But the first "I am" statement in the gospel appears here in chapter 4. The first "I am" statement is not delivered to the disciples in chapter 1, nor is it delivered to the prominent religious leader Nicodemus in chapter 3. The first "I am" statement in this "I am" gospel is delivered to a Samaritan woman who's had 5 husbands and is now living with another man. It shows that the mercy of Christ is wide. The grace of Christ is inclusive. His love outpaces his scrutiny. His compassion outruns his judgment. He already said in John 3:17 that he was not sent to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The woman is a prime candidate for condemnation, yet Jesus offers her salvation. The woman is a prime candidate for rejection, yet Jesus welcomes her into eternal life. He accepts sinners of all kinds. He loves us so much that he forgives us when we come to him. He died on the cross so that all could be saved. He says in John 12, "When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." The crucified Christ, lifted up from the earth on the cross, draws all people to himself through the magnetism of divine grace. Indeed, he draws people like fishermen and religious leaders, He draws people like tax collectors and Samaritan women with a shady past. He draws people like you and me and whosoever. In this story, the eternal life, the life that Christ brings, is expressed in the metaphor of living water. And once this woman takes a drink, she turns into a fountain. Bible scholar Frederick Dale Bruner writes, she becomes a fountain of gushing water for her city. Indeed, once she meets the Savior, she instinctively goes to tell others. Once she encounters grace that is greater than her sin, she has got to let other people in on it. The woman left her water jar, says verse 28. Went all the way out there to draw water from the well. She left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? The woman leaves her water jar there at the well because she had gotten something better than well water. She had received living water. She had met Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh, and she had become His disciple. That's why she went to tell others about Jesus. That's what disciples do. Do you remember the first thing Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew's gospel? It's in Matthew 4:19. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Discipleship leads to evangelism. Follow me, that's discipleship. And I will make you fish for people. That's evangelism. These principles from Matthew 4 are acted out on the stage of John 4. The woman becomes a disciple and then a fisher of people. She drinks the living water and turns into a fountain. Verse 39 reports, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. How many people are there who could point at you and say, I believe in Christ because of that person's testimony? In the end, the people not only heard from the woman, but also got to know Jesus for themselves. They got to know Jesus personally. Listen to verses 40 through 42 of John 4. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The woman's discipleship led her to evangelism, and her evangelism led to the discipleship of others. How did she do it? How did she pull this off? What was her ingenious evangelistic strategy? What's the model of outreach that proved so effective? Come and see. That's what she said. Come and see. She encouraged others to meet Jesus for themselves. She didn't threaten them with God's judgment. She didn't launch into a philosophical argument for the existence of God. She didn't try to guilt anyone into faith. She didn't try to force anyone into faith. She said, come and see about Jesus for yourself. She went to people she knew. It's relational evangelism. She told them about her experience with Christ. It's testimonial evangelism. She invited them to consider Jesus. It's invitational evangelism. She left the rest to God. Come and see. It's relational. It's testimonial. It's invitational. The phrase "come and see" here evokes John chapter 1, when Philip came to know Christ, and he went and told Nathanael about him. Nathanael famously said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And you know what Philip said? Come and see. Even earlier in John chapter 1, the first thing the disciples said to Jesus was, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And do you know what Jesus said in reply? Come and see. So they stayed with him for a day, and they got to know him. Come and see is not just the Samaritan woman's way of inviting people to discipleship. It's Jesus's way. Come and see. It's about going to people where we live and work, especially people we may already know. It's about telling them about our experience with the Savior and what he means to us. And it's about lovingly inviting them to meet Christ for themselves. You know, as Christians, we sometimes think we have to know everything about Jesus and God and the Bible before we share our faith with anybody, because what if they have a question or an objection that we can't answer very well? But the Samaritan woman here didn't know it all. She had just met Jesus earlier that same day. We all know enough to do come and see evangelism. We can all invite people to church. We can all invite people to watch live stream services. I've known homebound church members who do this type of evangelism over the phone. Our charge is to invite others to meet Christ. If they have questions, we can do as the Samaritan woman did and tell them about our experience of the Savior. Or if they have tough questions, we can also say, "Look, I don't know. I'm a preacher and I say that sometimes. I don't know." We don't drop the ball in evangelism when we can't come up with airtight answers for every question people have. We drop the ball in evangelism when we never share our faith in the first place. I know it can be intimidating. I know it can be awkward. I have done this many times. Trust me, I know how weird and uncomfortable it can be. But we don't have to walk up and down a public beach trying to convince people to give their lives to Christ on the spot. We don't have to go door to door either. Instead, we can go into our neighborhood, into our workplace, into our school, into our online community, into our city, into the places where we live our daily lives, and we can invite people to meet Jesus. Come and see. It should be a free decision of their own conscience as to how they respond. Years ago, when I was a youth minister, we had a high schooler in our youth group named Matt. Matt was a great guy, very outgoing, and one week he decided to invite his friend Danny to come to Wednesday night youth group with him. He didn't say, "Danny, you need to get right with God or you're in big trouble." He said, "Danny, come and see." And Danny came. He came for that first meeting. He came the next Wednesday. And before long, Danny was a fixture at Wednesday night youth group. He even came to some Sunday services here and there. I didn't know how Danny was processing all the prayer, all the praise, all the biblical teaching. He had never really been to church before. The only time he would open up was when him and Matt would talk about Weird Al Yankovic. They love the music of Weird Al. Do y'all know Weird Al? Anyway, that's when he would open up. So I had no idea how he was processing all of these spiritual things that he was encountering. But he went to summer camp with us that summer. And during a worship service at that summer camp, he came to me and he said, Noel, I want to be a Christian. And I remember vividly, we walked outside of that worship center. We sat on a bench together outdoors. We talked about Christ and the salvation he brings. And we prayed together. And Danny became a disciple. It started when Matt said, come and see. But by the end of the story, Danny could have said to Matt, he could have said to me, he could have said to the entire youth group, it's no longer because of what you said that I believe, for I have come to know myself that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The best possible outcome of evangelism is that others get to know Christ for themselves, that they gain a personal, direct connection with Jesus. And that's what happens at the end of our story today. And so the method that yielded these results commends itself for our practice. I really think the Samaritan woman shows us, as well as anybody in the Bible, how to share our faith. She shows us the come and see model of evangelism. Now, you and I can go to people and tell them what Christ means to us. We can say, come to our church sometime. Come and see Jesus alive in the community of believers. Come and see him enthroned on the praises of his people. Come and see him revealed in the preaching of the word. Come and see his love for you in our love for you. Come and see his acceptance of you in our acceptance of you. Come and see. Come and see. You know, just after the Samaritan woman goes back to the city to tell people about Christ, in that teachable moment, he turns to his disciples and says something I can still hear him saying today. I can hear it echoing across the centuries to this very moment. He says, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. Look around, Christians. People need the good news. People need hope in God. People need forgiveness of their mistakes. People need acceptance into the community of Christ. People need love rather than condemnation. People need compassion rather than judgment. People need mercy rather than scrutiny. People need for us to go into our village saying, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Amen.